Hello, everyone. This is Becky Bursell, Kayani. We're excited for everyone to be a part of our Greatest Version of You call and to have a chance to learn directly from Mr. John C. Maxwell again today. For those of you that were on the call a couple weeks ago, you know what a pleasure it is. And like I said, I look forward to this probably more than anybody. It's just for selfish reasons. I absolutely love the opportunity to hear from Dr. John C. Maxwell. We actually have the opportunity to hear from a gentleman that you all know and love as much as I do, and we've all had a chance to work very closely with. And I've asked him to join us today and to have a chance to introduce our special guest speaker. But for those of you that were in Las Vegas with us, you had a chance to hear from Mr. Mike Akagi and to get a chance to shake his hand and know what an incredible leader he is, and that there is no harder working individual. In fact, I think he's redefined the term work ethic for leaders in Kayani. And I'd love to turn some time over to our top producing green diamond, actually very close to purple diamond, Mr. Mike Akagi.
Thank you so much, Becky Mrs. Becky Bursell. What a privilege it is for me to be with you today, and particularly with all that Becky, her efforts to help us as leaders from the very beginning. She's been my mentor. She's helped me get where I've gotten, and the future is so bright with Kayani. And we have the privilege today of hearing from a man who everybody already knows. I'm not going to say a whole lot because he needs the time, but what a privilege it is for us. This man has influenced millions and millions of people across the world. And so it's my privilege to introduce you today, and with a heartfelt thanks for his contribution to humanity and to all of us here on this call, the author of over 70 books, and I hope he doesn't mind me calling him Mr. Intentionality, my friend, Mr. John C. Maxwell.
Hey, thank you, Mike. Wow, I like that Mr. Intentionality, because I happen to believe, Mike, that there's no such thing as success by accident. I believe that every person that ever goes anywhere successfully is very intentional in what they say and what they do and who they hang with. So it's great to hang with you, Mike, and with you, Becky, again. And I sure loved our call last time. If you remember, I talked about make your why bigger than you, and we really talked about purpose. And I think you know, of course, that I was going into Guatemala and doing an amazing week with the president and the Congress, the business leaders, the educational leaders, the religious leaders, just a terrific week of really working with influencers and to get buy-in to going into that country in June, which we're going to now, and literally doing a transformational leadership emphasis for the whole country. And so it was a terrific time. And I just, well, this is a personal note, and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to teach. I got to play in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am this week out in Pebble. I was invited to play in that. And I love to play golf, and I don't get to play that much. In fact, I think when I played this weekend in Pebble, it was the first time I played in 2 months. But I love to play when I get to, and it's a beautiful, beautiful area out there. Every year I do a golf tournament in October for my nonprofit organization, Equip. So to go back out and to play some golf and be with some amazing golfers, you know. I played, my pro was Steve LeBrun, who was just his first year qualifying on the tour, but played well. But I watched him hit that golf ball, and I thought, man, when I get to heaven, I'm going to hit a golf ball just like that. And, hey, I think the reason I don't hit a golf ball like that now is because I would be a golf bum if I think I quit writing books and doing what I'm supposed to do. So had fun. I enjoyed myself, but I've been really looking forward today. All day long I've been thinking about our time together. And, again, Becky, Mike, I want to do a good teaching session for your people, because I love what you're doing in Greater Version of You. I love your business, and I love what Kayani is doing as far as helping people and giving people an opportunity to make a difference for themselves and for others. So what I would like to do this evening, and I'm honestly, I don't know if I'll get through this lesson, but I promise you this, if I don't get the lesson done, we'll do a part one tonight and a part two on our next phone call, because there's just a lot of meat and a lot of things I want to give you. So if you're ready to take some good notes, I want to talk to you this evening about the keys that unlock the potential in people. And I want to start off on this subject of, again, the keys that unlock the potential in people, by just saying to you that when people ask me, what do I think is the litmus test for leaders? I mean, what is it? What is it, John, that you just look at people and say, okay, this person is a good leader, successful leader? I always tell them that I think the litmus test of a leader is the number of people that they've developed. So when somebody comes up and says they're a leader, I know we usually think, okay, well, then how many people are following you? And that's part of leadership. Obviously, if you don't have anybody following you, you certainly aren't leading them, that's for sure. But I know a lot of leaders that have followers. But they never compound their success. They never compound their vision. They just have followers. And those followers listen to what they say and follow them and do stuff with them. But they add. You add if you have followers. But you compound when you develop leaders. I guess the question is, as a leader, do you want to get on the addition side or do you want to get on the multiplication side? And by the way, 95% of all leaders major in followers, not in developing leaders. And that's why there are so many leaders that they do well, but they don't do very well. They do good, but they don't do great. And I want to help you. One of the reasons I know when Becky and I, our team just kind of talked about, this monthly call. I mean, I can tell you for sure on Mike's heart and on Becky's heart, they really want you. They really want a greater version of you. They don't want you to stay where you are. They want you to reach your potential, and they're determined to it. And again, I thank them because they're the ones who said, "Look, John, let's find out a way to do this." And I want you to know that if you're on this call, I want you to know that you have very good leadership. You have very good leadership. And let me tell you why. You've got leadership that's willing to invest in you. You've got leadership that believes that you are the only appreciable asset in Keaunee. That as you appreciate and get better, everybody gets better. The company gets better. Everyone wins. And so they're the ones who said, "Okay, let's get a plan. Let's do something." It's one thing to want your people to get better. It's so totally different to, hey, as use Mike's word in his introduction, be intentional and help people to get better. So I really want to, as I thought all day long about where I was and what I wanted to get accomplished with you, I really want to talk to you about how you develop people and work out and unlock their potential. Because, again, your success is going to be totally, totally in helping people and adding value to them and developing them. It was in 1974. So what would I have been? I was born in 47. I was 27 years old. I'm in Dayton, Ohio. 15,000 people in the arena, and it's a positive mental attitude rally. W. Clement Stone, Cabot Roberts, Paul Harvey, and Zig Ziglar was on the stage. It was the first time I ever heard Zig. Zig and I became very, very close friends over the years. But I'm a kid in my 20s, front row, legal pad, pen. I am ready to learn. And Zig, in that southern drawl, as he walks around the stage, looked down at us, and he said to us the words that you've heard probably many, many times yourself: if you'll help other people get what they want, they'll help you get what you want. And it clicked for me. I was 27, but it clicked for me that day. But up until that moment, I was more intent on having the team help me get what I wanted, buy into my vision, get on my train, go on my journey. And all of a sudden it hit me that I emphasized the wrong person. My emphasis was upon what am I going to get out of this instead of what am I going to do to add value to people and help them to grow and develop. And I could tell you without any doubt, somebody came into my life. I'm sitting in my office here, I live on Singer Island in Florida. In fact, I'm sitting in my office. I'm looking at the ocean right now. It's a beautiful evening. And if you sat in one of my chairs here in my office and said, John, talk to me. If, of all the things you've done that would help you to be where you are, what would you say was the turning point? I would tell you that day when all of a sudden I realized that my success was going to be determined on developing people and helping them get what they want and helping them to reach their goals and helping them to be successful. Everything changed, Becky. I kid you not. It was a eureka moment for me. I said, okay, I got it. I've been focused on the wrong person. Took the focus off John Maxwell, and I said, I want to focus on others. And I have found that that's the key to delivering a great speech. That's the key to delivering a great sale. The whole issue is always, what do they need? How can I serve them? Right before I got on the call with all of you, I said, hey, Mike, hey, Becky, talk to me. How can I serve you? What can I do? How can I add value to you? Because this is for you. It's not about me. It's about you. It's about you reaching your potential all day long, all day long. I had to go get one of those executive physicals down in Palm Beach. So, I mean, I started at 7:30 and literally got back here about 5 o'clock this evening. They've turned me every which way, I can promise you. They poked, prodded, pushed, pulled. It's every movable part. They worked me over good, but all day long. I'm saying, okay, now I'm going to get a talk to some beautiful people who really want to reach their potential. How can I help them do that? So what I'm going to give you is, I promise you, life-changing, simple stuff. Again, all my stuff is simple. I want everybody to understand it. All of my stuff is practical. I want everybody to be able to do it. But all my stuff that I give you, it really works. And if you just do the simple, practical stuff that I give you, I promise you it'll help you. So let's get started, and let me see how far in this session I can get with you. And the first thing, the first key, when somebody says, okay, I want to really unlock the potential in other people, where do I go? Where do I start? It's very simple. Number one, you really have to like people, and you really have to have a desire to help them. It's that simple. You got to like people, and you have to have a desire to help them. Now, there are a lot of people, they're just relational gurus. So they like people, but they like just to hang with people, like to have dinner with people, like to go to an event with people. But they're not strategic. Again, back to your word, Mike, they're not intentional. They're not really doing anything specific to develop people. So when I say you got to like people, that's your attitude towards others. That's the fact that you value them. But you got to like them and have a real passion and desire to help them. And once you do that, that begins to be pretty amazing. I wish you could meet my father. Dad's 91, very good health. In fact, on the Saturday after Thanksgiving, my mother and him, they were married for 68 years before she passed away a couple years ago. And so on the Saturday after Thanksgiving, my father married a wonderful, wonderful lady. And he's just contagious. Once you meet him, you fall in love with him. I remember a few years ago, we were at a study in his office, and he looked at me and he said, John, he said, as I've gotten older, I love people more today than I did 30 years ago, 50 years ago. And it's really true in his life. But that is not true in a lot of people's lives. A lot of people, as they get older, they get calloused, they get cynical, and they don't love people like they used to. And I always tell leaders, when you stop loving your people, stop leading them. Because what happens is when you stop loving people, if you still lead them, instead of helping them, adding value to them and developing them, you begin to manipulate them. You begin to ask yourself, how can I get them to do something that will help me? And you begin to put yourself first. Anyone that's heard me teach leadership, or if you've read the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, one of the laws is the law of influence, when the law of influence just simply says leaders influence people. That's all they do. That's what leadership is. It's influence. Nothing more, nothing less. That's what it is. So when you think of influence, when you think of how you influence people, you do that relationally. You really influence people by relating well to them. And let me say this. It's impossible to have a positive influence with people over the long run if you don't genuinely love and care for those people. And going back to the Zig comment, when he was crossing that stage, he said, here's how this works, gang. If you'll help other people get what they want, if you'll focus on them first, you'll get everything you want. I understood that my number one leadership responsibility, hear this very clearly today, is to every day intentionally add value to people. That's what I do every day. It's just that simple. Because if I add value in a positive way to everybody every day, then I will increase my influence with people. If I add value to people every day, two things happen. I will influence more people, and I'll influence people in a greater way. That's a fact. So if I want to really have leadership influence with the person, I've just got to make sure that I'm intentional in adding value to them on a daily basis. And there are four ways. I'm sorry, I probably should give you only three. There are really four ways in my life. Three ways for sure for you. The fourth one I may mention, but you don't have to take notes on that one. In my life, there are four ways I add value to people. And number one is I value people. And it's that simple. If I truly value people, then I'll look for ways to add value to people. But can I tell you something? If I devalue people, I won't be positive in their life. I won't add value to people that I devalue. In fact, whatever number you put on a person's head, that's the number of the effort that you'll give to add value to them. So, Mike, if I look at you and I say, man, Mike, I you know, you and Becky are tens in my life. I really value you as people. Then guess what? I'll give it a 10 effort. But it's also true if I look at you and I say, well, you know, I think they're average. They're a 5. Guess what I'll do? I'll give you a 5 effort. The effort always matches the value number. So, if I'm really going to add value to people, I really have to value people. I have to truly understand that they are the most appreciable asset that Kiani has. No question about it. If you want to really be a greater version of you, you're going to have a greater vision of others. So, I add value to people by, number one, valuing people. Number two, I add value to people by knowing and relating to what they value. You see, leaders are listeners before they lead. We think of leaders as casting vision, you know, pointing the way, showing people the mountain, you know. And leaders are obviously vision casters, vision carriers, no doubt about that. But before I ever point somebody in direction or cast a vision, we've got to listen to them. In fact, the sequence I've discovered with leaders is leaders listen, leaders learn, and then, and only then, leaders lead. So, if I'm going to add value to people, I have to know and relate to what people value. In other words, I've got to find out where they are. You see, I wrote a book a couple of years ago, and I imagine that you have it. If you don't have it, I would encourage you to get it, because I can promise you, if you want to learn how to cast vision, this is the book. It's called Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. And one of the whole underlying themes of that book is that great communicators, they connect on common ground. They really do. The great communicators, what they do is they find out what a person has in common with them, and that's where they start connecting with them. For example, when I was in Guatemala a couple of weeks ago, And I was meeting with all these major leaders. I met with what they call the Godfather of Guatemala, the most influential person, the wealthiest man in the country. I met with the eight families that control 80% of the wealth in the country. I met with the Minister of Education, met with the Cabinet, met with the Senate, met with the President of the country. I met with the top leaders, all the top media. I met with the leader of the Mayan tribe that really influences more people in Central America than any other person, even any president. And he and I had a two-hour meeting. I found him to be a delightful man. Learned a lot in those 2 hours from him. But here's what I know. Whether it was meeting with the Mayan leader or the president or with the Minister of Education, doesn't matter. First thing that I need to do is I need to listen to them. And I need to let them know by listening how much I value them. And I want to hear from them. And I want to know them. I've often said people don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. And listening is a huge indicator of how much you care for people. So if I'm going to add value to people, I've got to, one, value people. Number two, I've got to know and relate to what they value. And connectors always find that common ground. That's where you go. Start looking until you find common ground. I know there's an expression that says it's lonely at the top, but that's not a leadership expression. There's almost an assumption that if you're going to lead, you're alone. Think about it for a moment. If you're alone when you lead, you're not leading anybody. I mean, come on, talk to me for a moment. That doesn't make any sense at all. You know, if you're up on top of the mountain and you're all alone and all your people down in the valley, you're not a leader up on top of that mountain all alone. You're just, I don't know, what are you? You're a hiker. You're just taking a hike. You're just, you got a compass and a knapsack and some bird seed, and that's about it. Because leaders, they connect with their people. They walk slowly through the crowd. When I was in Guatemala, let me give you an example of that a couple of weeks ago. Their whole tendency for the first couple of days, I'd be meeting with assemblies and large groups of people. I met one evening with 5,000 social activists from 18 different organizations. First time all these social activists had ever come together. And their tendency was to quickly, when the crowd was already in there, move me into the crowd, into position at the front, to introduce me and have me go up and speak, and then move me away from the people. And after doing it a couple times, I said, wait a minute, hold on. I don't want to do that. They said, well, we don't want anybody bothering you. I said, you don't understand. The people you don't want bothering me are the people I'm trying to deliver a message to. This is a thought for you. They're real people. They live. They breathe. They've got hopes. They've got dreams. And then I made a statement to them, and I want you to hear this very carefully. I said, it's my goal whenever I go to speak that by the time I get to the stage, the people already know I care for them. Now, how do I do that? I walk slowly through the crowd. I don't want to go directly to my seat and sit down or to my throne and have a scepter and a crown and act like I'm sudden. My name's John. I'm people's friend. The only reason I'm there to talk to them is because they're there. And I want to walk slowly. I want to stop for a moment. I want to shake hands. I want to smile to people. I want to acknowledge people. I want to walk into that room saying, I value you more than I value my speech. I value you more than I value what I'm about to talk about. I value you. Period. I've often said that you can tell an awful lot about a powerful person by how he or she treats people that don't have power. And I see a lot of times people with position or people with money, and they're pretty heavy-handed. They're pretty top-down. That's not the way to be. Walk slowly through the crowd. If you really value people, take some time. Listen to them. Learn from them. Next week I'll be in Orlando, and I have a coaching company, and we'll be training about 600 new coaches. Happens to be my birthday next week, and so they'll have a reception. And I know what I'll do at that reception. I'll walk slowly through the crowd. Last year, Margaret and I, it took us an hour and 10 minutes to go probably no more than 60, 70 feet. And 150, 200 pictures later and hugs and just appreciative type of gestures and conversation. We finally got to, I don't know where the cake was, where I was supposed to blow the sucker out, I guess. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Just listen to me carefully. You got to love people. And no leader should be leading people that they don't care about. If that's the case, you'll start manipulating those people. That's never right. It's never the leader's prerogative to move people for his or her personal advantage without helping the other people first. So, if I'm going to add value to people, I got to, number one, value people. Number two, if I'm going to add value to people, I have to know and relate to what they value. Got to walk slowly through the crowd. Number three, if I'm going to add value to people, I have to make myself more valuable. I got to get better. I have to keep growing. I have to keep learning. The great leaders are always learning. I can tell you what I know about Becky. Let me tell you what I know about Mike. They're not sitting on their position of leadership today. They're the first ones to take notes. I promise you, while I'm giving you this lecture, nobody's learning more, growing more, taking more notes, listening more intently than Becky and Mike. Why? Because they know that what got them to where they are will not take them to where they need to go. They understand that. And they understand that their secret of success is the fact that they continue to learn and they continue to grow. That is so absolute key. So, you got to get better. Of course, I just wrote the 15 Laws of Personal Growth. And that book was nothing but a passion time for me. I wrote that book with fire. The whole time I wrote it, I just poured into people what I've learned about personal growth myself. Here's what I want you to know. Every day I'm learning. Every day I'm growing. Every day I'm reading. Every day I'm asking questions. Every day I'm listening to people. Every day. Every day I'm filing. I don't miss a day. Because I realize that there's nothing more pathetic than a leader who's living off of yesterday. You don't want to do that. When's the last time you learned something for the first time? When's the last time you shared with people what you just learned for the first time? You know when you do that, it's fresh, it's real. It's got some juice to it because you're excited about what you're learning, what you're going through. Remember when you were in college and you had those professors who were teaching out of 25-year-old notes? Hello? Wow, they were as boring as could be, weren't they? Because, you know, I've been there, done that way, way, way too long. No zeal, no passion, no freshness. Now, I've given you three things that help me to add value to people. One, I value people. Number two, I try to learn what's valuable to them and connect with them on that level. Number three, I try to make myself more valuable. Now, I'm going to give you number four, but I'm not going to comment on it. I'm a person of faith, and so that's not what I'm here. But for me, number four, and I'm just giving it to you, and then I'm moving right on immediately, is that I want to do the things that God values because I think they have an eternal nature to them. But here's what I know. If you want to develop people, you really just have to like them. You got to like them. You got to want to help them. You got to want to develop them. And by the way, people can tell if you genuinely love them or not. You can't fake that very long. You can hide behind your positions and titles for a short time, but they'll tell if you genuinely care for them. Warren Buffett, when I say that name, every one of you know, he's the financial guru. I would assume that if somebody today said to who's the financial guru that you listen to, the wisest guy you ever listened to, they'd all say Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett said something very interesting one time. He said, the most valuable lesson I ever learned wasn't the financial lesson. The most valuable lesson I ever learned was that if I'm going to help people financially, I have to get along with them and like them. He said, if I can connect with people, then I can help them with my wisdom. Warren Buffett's exactly right. No matter how gifted, how talented you are, you got to connect with people. And the key to connecting with people is truly liking them. So that's number one. Okay. Number two. Second thing to unlock the potential in others is for you to find your own personal strength zone. Now, isn't that an interesting statement? If you really want to help other people get better, you got to know what you do good yourself. Because if you aren't in your strength zone, you can't help people. In fact, people, you know, every day of my life, people want me to mentor them. You know, would you mentor me? Would you give me some advice? And of course, I tell them my life's pretty full, so mentoring's kind of out right now. But you don't want me to give you advice on most things. And they'll look at me and say, well, aren't you successful? I say, well, I'm successful, but I'm only successful because I do two or three things really well. I'm not successful because I know everything or that I'm good at everything. In fact, one of the mistakes successful people make is they get successful in the area of their strengths, and then they think they can be successful in any area, and they can't. You get into your weak zone, and you won't be successful. At best, you'll be average. So what you got to do to help people develop and really reach their potential is you got to find your strength zone so you can reach your potential, because people do what people see. Let me give you an example of that. In my earlier years, and what young leaders do, or at least what I did as a young leader, is I spent a lot of years, those first formative years, finding myself, just finding out what my strength zone was. I didn't know what it was in the beginning. In fact, I have a degree in counseling. So I started off doing some counseling. Well, just because you have a degree in something, it doesn't mean you're any good at it. And I was a terrible, terrible counselor. Trust me on this. I'm not trying to be modest and humble. I was just bad. It wore me out. I wore people out. Oh, my goodness. They come in with their problems, and I'm kind of choleric, and so I sit and listen to their problems for 10 or 15 minutes, and I've got my legal pad, and I'm scratching stuff with my pen. And when they get out with their, tell me, pouring out their problem, I say, okay, I got this figured out. Here's three things you need to go do. If you do these three things, you can fix this thing. And I'd give them the 1, 2, 3 and kind of tear off the page and bid them well, and you know, you're healed and blessings, and send them out of the office, only to find out next month they were back again. They're back again. And I look at them and say, wow, you know, I thought I helped you last month. Did you do what I laid out for you? And most of the time they didn't. And it took me 3 or 4 years. In fact, I remember one day reading in Psychology Today magazine, it was a magazine I took as a counselor, it said 90% of the people that come for counseling don't want help. I was shocked. Here, I was under the assumption for all this time that people came to me, they wanted to be helped. They didn't want to be helped. They just wanted to have somebody to listen to. And most of them didn't want to have discipline in their life to change their life. They just want somebody to talk about their life. Well, I was a terrible counselor. And the reason I was a terrible counselor is in counseling, you're always working on a person's weaknesses. And I just wasn't good at it. Now, one day I realized that I was really good working with people, but I was good at equipping people, not counseling people. You see, when you counsel them, again, you work with them on their weaknesses, but when you equip with them, you work with them on their strengths. And I was really good helping people find their strengths, and I was really good at teaching them how to develop and be stronger in those areas. Now, everything changed for me once I found my own strength zone. Once I found that I was an equipper, yes, not a counselor, everything began to change. I quit trying to help people in their areas of weaknesses. I said, hey, look, there are good counselors, and a lot of people need to go to counseling. I'm not anti-counseling at all. But I wasn't the one to do the counseling. I was the one to do the equipping. I said, hey, so for your weaknesses, go to someone else. Now, if you want me to help you with strengths, I can do that. And then I began to say, what are my strengths? And I began to work on this. And I like to tell you I have 4 strengths, but Margaret and I were talking, Margaret's my wife, talking a few months ago, and we were talking about those four strengths. She said, John, I really think you only have three. I think she's right. So I don't know. I'm 65. I figure the way this works, Becky, is that I started off with four, and I've got three now. And, you know, when I get 68, 70, I'll have two, and then I'll have one. And then one day I'll have none. They just bury me. You know, the old boy has nothing to offer, so they just stick me in the ground. But I am really good in three areas. In fact, when I say I'm really good, I'm really, really good. I'm as good as anybody I know in these three areas. And these are my strengths. And this is where I stay. For example, I'm good at leading. I really do understand how to lead. And I'm a very good leader. So I lead / equip people extremely, extremely. I've got three companies. I've got wonderful teams. You have to understand, I have people to run those organizations. I don't spend any time on those. Very, very little time. They do a better job than I would. I lead, I equip extremely well. Secondly, I create very well. I'm very creative. That's why I love to write. I love. Nothing more fun to me than have some time to work on an idea. I'm a real good idea person. I'm a good thinker. Creative. And the third thing I do very well is I communicate and connect really well with audiences. I know how to do it. I know how to do it on the phone with you. I mean, I'm having a personal conversation with you. It's just like you would be sitting in my office right now, just the two of us talking. And I'm good if I've got to speak to, I've spoken up to crowds of 100,000 at a time. I can communicate. Now, what does that mean? What that means is I am going to stay in my strengths. At all times. I'm not going to get in my weaknesses. Now, in areas of choice, let me make sure you get this, because this is huge. In areas of choice, you need to work on your weaknesses. Let me explain. Attitude is a choice. Discipline is a choice. In areas where I can choose and control the outcome, I want to work on that. That's why a person can go from a bad attitude to a good attitude almost overnight. You've seen that. I mean, one day they woke up and they said, this is a lousy attitude, and they changed their attitude, and everything begins to turn for them. Well, how could they turn it so fast? How could they develop so fast and grow so fast? In areas of choice, growth is large and fast. But in areas of skill and giftedness and ability, growth is slow and small. Don't get too confused. And in the areas of your strength, you work on those strengths. The only area you work in your weakness is in areas of choice. If it's not a choice, don't work on it. When you went to school, if you got an A in math and you got a C in English, what did that mean? It meant that you had a math bent, not a language bent. Math was your strength, not language. And a lot of people stay average because they work on average. And when you work on average, you don't improve that much and you're still average. So you got to get to where your strengths are. And you got to find out what those strengths are. And you got to stay right there and focus on those strengths. And when you focus on your strengths, you get confidence. But when you focus on your weaknesses, you lose your confidence. Yeah. Let me explain. Last weekend, I was having fun playing golf at Pebble Beach. Now, I wish I could tell you I made all the putts, but I didn't. In fact, I missed most of the putts. Now, let me tell you the difference between a professional golfer and me. If a professional golfer has an 8-foot putt and he misses it, he'd give anything to have another shot at that because he knows he can make it. He's got confidence. He's done it thousands and thousands of times. A person like me, I don't have that confidence. I'm not that good. I don't have that gift. Now, very simply, here's what you need to do. Stay in your strength zone, but get out of your comfort zone. But don't get the two interchanged. I know a lot of people, they get out of their strength zone. You don't want to get out of your strength zone. You get out of your strength zone, I'm going to tell you, you're just going to be bad. There's no other way to slice it. You're just going to be bad. Wow. You don't want to be bad. You want to stay in your strength zone. And when you play to your strengths, guess what? You can coach others in your strengths. So therefore, when somebody says, would you like to mentor me? I said, probably not. Because I'm an average in a lot of areas. That's why when a person thinks that having one person mentor them in every area, that's a little foolish. There's nobody that good. So if it comes to relationships, I have people who are relationally strong that mentor me in that area. If it comes to leadership, I have people that are leadership strong that mentor me in that area. If it comes to attitude development, how you think, I got people that are strong in that area. I have them mentor me. So I pick my mentors based upon their strengths and what I need. But if you're going to develop people, you never can develop people by doing what you do average and making them above average. You've got to do what you do well. You see, we teach what we know, but we reproduce what we are. Always remember that. So it's easy for me to teach you on any subject, but I won't reproduce you greatness in every subject. I will only reproduce greatness in you in the areas that is already great within me. You don't produce greatness from weakness to strength. You produce greatness from strength to potential strength. So find your own personal strength zone. Wow. And once you find your own personal strength zone, stay right there because that's where you want to be. Okay, let me give you one more. I think I've got time for one more. Becky, Mike, I'm loving this tonight.
You're great.
I hope I'm giving them what they want because, hey, let's put it this way. I'm loving them what I'm giving them. I hope I'm giving them what they need, that's for sure. Because this stuff works, Becky. This stuff works. I know it does. I can say with confidence, not only to you and Mike, but to all of the greater version of you people online, tonight. Everything I'm teaching you has been tried and proven. It works. I mean, I could spend all evening giving you hundreds of examples of what I've just taught, but let me give you one more. And boy, between now and our next month phone call, this is one you can really spend some time working on. Trust me. Let's review. If you really want to unlock the potential in people, number one, you've got to like people and the desire to help them. Number two, you've got to find your own personal strength zone. You can't build strong people out of your weaknesses. Number three, you have to help others find their strength zone. The first responsibility of a leader, if he or she is going to develop other people, is to find the strength zones of the people they're trying to develop. And until you can find that, you're never going to be able to help them to reach their potential. So, the question I'm sure all of you are asking right now is, okay, well, then how do I help a person find their strength zone area? So if you'll let me here for the last 7-8 minutes here, let me give you some questions I've asked over the years that just help me. So, I mean, if I'm sitting down with Mike here tonight and I'm saying, okay, Mike, I want to help you find your strength zones, there are some questions I got to ask. Question number one is ability. I've got to look at Mike and I've got to say, okay, what is he gifted in? What is he good at? Got to find it. Remember I said a little bit earlier tonight on the call that in matters of choice, you can grow fast and you can grow huge numbers. I mean, you can go from if 10's top and you've got a bad attitude and you've got a 2 attitudes really way below average, but all of a sudden you want to change that attitude because it's a choice. You can go from a 2 to 10 overnight. Literally, you can. I've seen it happen. But if it's in giftedness and ability, you'll never go from a 2 to a 10. It's impossible. In the area of giftedness, you're only going to increase 2 numbers, maybe 3. Listen carefully to me. So because you recruit, because you go out and find people to be part of Kiani, and you know, you find people to become part of this business, you're going to have to make sure that you find people that have potential. I was doing an international conference. I do a lot of stuff for Chick-fil-A, and the family are very close. And I was doing an international conference for Chick-fil-A. We were in a Q&A, and one of the people asked the question, John, how do you develop leaders? And I smiled, and I said, by finding potential leaders. In other words, You don't develop leaders by finding people that lack leadership potential. So you've got to very quickly assess and discern what their giftedness and ability is, because they're going to only grow two numbers. So let's say I'm going to try to recruit Mike for Keani, and so I'm looking at him and I'm asking him, does he have some leadership to him? Does he influence people? Is he a leader? Well, if Mike is already a six, he's already above average. That means I can take him to a seven, I can take him to an eight. You know, when you're an eight or a nine, you're in business. But if Mike is only a two as a natural, influential type of a person, I can't make a nine out of him. You see, we spend a lot of time recruiting people we shouldn't recruit and training people who don't have that potential to reproduce themselves. I wish 40 years ago I'd have had somebody teach this to me. I didn't have a clue. I just loved people and wanted to help people. And so I recruit, if they were living, breathing, I recruited them. And glad to give everybody a chance, because everybody can grow. But here's what I want you to know. You could only grow in giftedness abilities, two numbers, maybe three max. So the better person you recruit with a higher number, the higher the odds are you can take them higher and do something very effective with them. So ability is one question. What kind of ability do they have? Number two is temperament. What kind of a temperament do they have? There are basically four temperaments, you know that. Sanguine, melancholy, phlegmatic, choleric. What kind of temperament do they have? Because they will work according to their temperament. And there's not a bad temperament, by the way. I was one time in a Q&A challenged on, is there such a thing as a leadership temperament? And I said, no. I said, I could name you great leaders in American history that were melancholy. I can name you great leaders that flags. I can name you great leaders that were cholerics and some that were sanguine. Trust me. But you got to know what the temperament is, because the temperament is their natural bent. It is the way that they learn. And so you don't want to be analytical with the sanguine. You want to be experiential with them. So you got to know what the temperament is and then match the growth development with what kind of temperament that they have. The third question is passion. What's their passion? What's their dream? Do they own the dream? And by the way, there's a way to tell if they own the dream. By the way, I wrote a book a few years back ago called Put Your Dream to the Test. You're probably familiar with it, but it's 10 questions you have to ask yourself to make sure your dream comes true. And one of those questions is the passion question, because the passion is where the person gets energy. And you can tell that a person has the right passion when they're willing to invest and bet in themselves. I promise you. I watch people all the time. They want some kind of a sponsorship program. They want me to sponsor them. They, you know, well, John, I'd like to be successful. Would you sponsor me? Would you underwrite me? Would you pay the way? Would you scholarship me? Would you give me a free ride? Would you bend over and let me get you on the back? So would you carry me to the top? And boy, I sure want to go to the top. Would you carry me? No. No. Don't have any desire to carry you. You know, we're supposed to leave footprints in the sands of time, but most people, they want to leave butt prints in the sands of time. They just want to sit on their butt. Passion. That's where the energy is. You know, I people ask me all the whole time, well, how do you motivate people? I quit trying to motivate people a long time ago. I'm telling you, if a person's not motivated every day of your life, they'll just suck air out of you. There comes a time when you look them right in the eye and say, look, I'm delighted to add value to you, and I'm delighted to equip you, I'm delighted to train you, I'm even delighted to pour into you. But here's the way this works, pal. I don't pour into you more than you pour in yourself. Can I tell you something? If I'm betting on Becky, and I'm going to help Becky, Becky better help herself more than I help her. And the day that I'm giving her an 8 out of a 10 effort, she's giving herself a 2 out of effort, we're done. We're gone. I'm out of there. It's over. But when a person has passion, you don't have to pick them up every day. You don't have to motivate them every day. You don't have to say, come on, let's not quit. We can do it one more time. Get yourself back up. No. When they have passion, it's at that time that they're going to be able to motivate themselves, and they'll begin to bet on themselves more than you. Remember this, when you have your people not betting on themselves as much as you're betting on them, very soon you're going to have problems. The fourth area is in the area of maturity. What kind of maturity does this person have? And when I speak of maturity, let me define maturity for you. Maturity is the ability to think beyond yourself. Mature people, they can see someone else besides themselves in the picture. That's a huge, huge question. And question number five, and I'm done, is a question of influence. Who do they influence? How many do they influence? You show me a person that influences others, and I'll show you a person that has great potential to lead others. Now, these are just questions you ask yourself to help you discover what their strength zone is and where they are and how well that works. Well, Becky, I only got through three questions. Mike, I didn't get through all of my good night. I had nine of them, so I got through three of them. But maybe if it's okay with you guys, next month we'll pick up and we'll start with number four, and we'll just kind of keep on developing people. Is that all right?
We would love that.
Thank you so much, Becky. Mike, thanks so much for that wonderful introduction of me being intentional. I like that, buddy, and thank you, all of you on the phone call and are part of Kiani and Greater Version of You. Thank you for letting me have a few moments to invest in you tonight. I hope it's been helpful, and hope I've given you something that will really help you to grow in yourself and grow in your family and obviously grow in your business.
Thank you so much, John. That's perfect.
Thank you, John. We appreciate you taking time out of your incredibly busy schedule to pour into us. So, again, thank you and have a great week.
I love it, and I'll see you next month.
Thank you. We want to thank everyone for being a part of this call as well and for putting value into becoming the greatest version of you. Just a couple of announcements. Obviously, as incredible as you feel right now, and I know that John C. Maxwell says he doesn't motivate people, but I know a part of you is definitely inspired and motivated after these calls, and we want you to put those tools and motivation to work. So please make sure and get with your leaders. Surround yourself by people that are going to help you get where you want to go. And as we've always said before, we wish we could read your mind and understand your desire and your drive, but you've got to reach out to the people that are willing to invest in you and communicate that to us. So I know all of the leaders personally. I know their mentality. I know their sacrifices that they've made. I know what they're willing to do for each and every person on this phone. It's just a matter of making that initial contact with them, and off and running we all are. I know that they're willing to take time away from their families and from their personal goals to make your goals number one in their lives and to really give back. So just a couple of announcements. We have the leadership event conference call that's coming up March 5th. These are going to be about mastering the basics of Kiani, about understanding how to teach them, obviously building your business in conjunction with becoming the greatest version of you is our ultimate goal. And I honestly believe you can't do one without the other. So make sure and be on that call as well. From here on out, there are some qualifications to be on the John C. Maxwell call, which will include becoming Jade and having 7 Triangle Pack customers. So we've got a lot to do in the next 30 days to make sure that we're continuing on this journey together. And that's exactly what we want. We'd love to have 1,000 people on this call because everybody has met their personal goals to do that. So work with the people around you. Make sure that you're reaching those goals and your greatest potential. And, of course, you can always get online and find out what's going on greatestversionofyou.com. And also like us on Facebook. It's under actually my account under Becky Bursell. Or you can go to the Greatest Version of You website and click on the Facebook link. And those have all the up-to-date, every single day posts, announcements, how to register for the Maxwell event coming up in November, how to be a part of all of our G-Boy events all across the country. So make sure and stay plugged in, you guys, because as you've heard me say many, many times before, there is no failure in Kiani. You either succeed or you quit. And you cannot quit staying in this kind of environment. So make sure and stay plugged in, guys. We will talk to you all soon, and we will see you soon. And everybody have a phenomenal week, and make it a great day. Love you guys. God bless. Take care.